Anger is a powerful catalyst, but a life-sucking companion. And I mean, this quote perfectly sums up what I think we see in Ephesians 4.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Eunice, and I believe we need all the help we can get when it comes to living a full and free life. Here you'll find honest truth, practical tips, and perspective changes that help you embrace the miracle that is your life. It's an in-process conversation that's going to be unfiltered, and it better be fun. Let's get real together.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Be Real solo edition. We've had so many guests, which has been fantastic. And I have to say, the opportunity to talk to some really incredible people and get to share that with you guys, it's like life. I just love it. So I hope you guys have enjoyed the conversations, but we're going to take a little bit of time today to kind of dive into some of the things that are happening like in our internal world that can really impact the way that we live out our relationships and our leadership. And this particular topic is one that for some reason has been a thread through many of my books and lots of coaching. And I think it's because maybe we just need to normalize our experiences and have an opportunity to be honest about where we stand on the topic. So the topic today is anger. We're going to talk about what we do with our anger, why we get angry, and kind of a proper way to sort of place what we're experiencing so that we can let it sort of be a driver to a deeper relationship with the Lord, a deeper relationship with others, and also kind of an understanding of our calling, which is what's so interesting about anger is that the way that we experience the pain of anger can often be a clue about some of what we're called to give back to the world. So I'm going to be using a passage from scripture. Wherever you are on your faith journey, you guys know that I'm a pastor and that I lead from that place. But this particular, I mean, in a lot of places in scripture, I feel like there's incredible wisdom that can impact you regardless of your belief. And this particular topic is one of those where the wisdom of what we learn from scripture actually really deeply connects to what psychology would also tell us. So wherever you are, you're welcome here. And we're going to be in Ephesians 4. I'm going to read to you guys just a couple of verses. And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast, please keep listening. But I do want you to know I've got a visual for you and you can find that on YouTube. So for those of you guys who are here with me on YouTube, welcome. Glad you're here. And we're going to be able to show you a few screens that you need. But again, if you're on audio, you may want to like pop over to YouTube at some point. I'll do my very best to explain it as well. Okay, so Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. It says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold," which is like a really interesting phrase. So we've got this like understanding of anger. Many people have heard this. If you grew up in the church, maybe you've actually heard this interpreted. You can't be angry. And when you're angry, you better stop being angry before the sun goes down. Otherwise, you're way out of line. And that interpretation, I think, has led us to not allow anger to be the kind of teacher that it can be. That's not to say that we don't believe that this is true, but let's talk a little bit about what this actually means for us. And specifically, this idea that anger is such a powerful force that it has the ability to become very destructive. So when the scripture says, don't give the devil a foothold, I think that's because the power of anger in our life, and even anger that's like turned inward or that we don't deal with, it has such a destructive and divisive ability to work in our life, which is why we actually do want to pay attention to the way that we experience anger. Because the first thing we want to know is that anger itself is an emotion. Anger itself is not a sin. It actually says in Psalm 4, verse 4, it's the actual place that's quoted in Ephesians. Psalm 4, verse 4 says, "Be angry and do not sin." So that's a little different. That's like, hey, you're going to get angry. You're going to experience anger, but don't sin in your anger. So we want to kind of separate those two things out. So I've got a little graph that I think might help you kind of talk about that. And I want to look at what it means to be aware of what anger is and what anger can do in us. I love this quote from Brené Brown. This is from her most recent book, Atlas of the Heart. And if you haven't checked out Atlas of the Heart and you need like an encyclopedia of emotions, that's basically what it is. So what Brené Brown did alongside of her team of researchers is they did this very extensive research project around how people experience emotions and what emotions people experience in the world. And so then she categorizes those emotions sort of into groupings. You know, most people, they only can access kind of three major feelings. Those major feelings are glad, mad, and sad, and maybe bad. Like sometimes people are like, and I feel bad. I don't know what I feel, but I feel bad. And we just, this is an opportunity to develop a more extensive vocabulary emotionally, because when we have a stronger vocabulary emotionally, we're able to be more vulnerable and connect more deeply, both with our own experience in the world, as well as the way that we relate to people that we love. So anger, this is what she says about the emotion of anger. Anger is a powerful catalyst, but a life-sucking companion. And I mean, this, Brené Brown's not a pastor, but this quote perfectly sums up what I think we see in Ephesians 4, or that concept of be angry, but do not sin. Because like Brené Brown says, anger is a powerful catalyst. It's an emotion that gives us this strong response. And anytime we're angry, anger always needs a vent. It always needs an action that's associated with it. So when we experience anger, there's going to be some action that comes out of it. That's what that first part of the quote kind of means. Like, anger is a powerful catalyst. It's always going to do something. But then as she goes on, but it's a life-sucking companion, meaning if you let the sun go down on your anger and up on your anger and down and up a few more times, if you let anger be a companion in your life, it will eventually suck the life out of you. Anger essentially is a destructive force if it remains. So what we want is the catalyst part of anger. What we don't want is the life-sucking companion part of anger. So we want to like work through how some of the ways that we experience anger. So I built this graph for you guys. If you're over on YouTube, you can see it. And I'm going to build us out like a little box here and walk you through this. And so kind of on the anger side, there's sort of two kinds of anger that we can experience. The two kinds of anger that we experience are unrighteous anger or righteous anger, okay? So unrighteous anger is anytime that somebody comes against me and I don't get what I want. That's what it is. It's a self-centered source of anger. And then there's like righteous anger, and that's a real thing too, because we are people who've been created in a world where we care about right and wrong. And so we can have anger about any number of things that would be the right kind of things to be angry about. We can be angry about vulnerable people being oppressed. We can be angry about bullies. We can be angry about the way that the world works that is unkind to so many people, or violent or evil. Like, we have things to be angry about in the world. And many of those kinds of things that we are angry about, it's a righteous anger because we know that something's not right in the world. So oftentimes unrighteous anger is something's not right with the world that I want. And righteous anger is something's not right with the world at large. There's something happening where there's people that are being hurt because of other people's actions. So we've got righteous and unrighteous anger. And remember, we said anger is always going to need a vent. So there's always going to be an action that comes out of anger. And so that's kind of down the other side of our graph is like, okay, when we vent the anger, is the vent unproductive or productive? Okay, so I've built you out a square, and in each square, we're going to have a different experience of anger. Okay, so let's walk through it. Let's say that you have unrighteous anger, and it's going to lead to unproductive action. Here's a perfect example. Someone cuts you off in traffic. You don't know the person. You don't know why they cut you off, but you feel angry about it, and you respond by like slamming on your horn or like shouting a curse word or putting your finger out the window, whatever you might do. That's unrighteous anger with an unproductive action that went with it, right? So in the unrighteous, unproductive, this is always going to be destruction. It's always destructive. And you might be like, well, Nicole, it's like not that destructive if I honk my horn. That's true. But you're adding like violence to the world. Like your response when you blow up, when you shout at someone, when you slam on your horn, when you gossip about someone who bothered you, those are generally destructive forces. And if we go back to this idea that Brené Brown says that anger that stays with us is a life-sucking companion, I think we can all acknowledge that Venting our anger in an unproductive way might feel good for like half a second, but it doesn't feel good in the long term. Like, that's not a person that we're proud to be. So we may have a moment that feels very justified. We may experience and lash out in that anger in what we believe to be a justified way. But my experience with people, you know, even yesterday, I was talking to someone after I preached. This is from a little piece of a sermon. And the person was like, I'm not proud of who I used to be, and I'm working on my anger. And that's my experience with what people will say in the long term about being an angry person, is that even if at that time they were living out of hurt or feeling justified in what they did, when they look back at that time, they're not proud of that person. And so that kind of anger, when it's an unrighteous anger that has an unproductive action, will always lead to destruction, okay? So there's a second kind of anger that we can have, and that's unrighteous anger with a productive action. Now, you might be like, how could I be unrighteously angry and then have a productive action? Well, you can, because what's incredible about being angry is that it is a catalyst often to tell us something deeper about what's going on within us. So let's go back to our traffic example. So I'm frustrated in traffic. There's a good chance that there's another emotion that got me to a place where the place that I needed to vent was in traffic. And there's all kinds of softer, more vulnerable emotions that anger can be a cover for. Those emotions are, I feel rejected. I feel disappointed. I feel anxious. I feel scared. I feel unseen. There's all this other that can be operating underneath of anger. And if a moment of anger or several moments of anger, let's say over the course of a week, are a catalyst for you to go deeper and say, wait, what's behind this anger, then that actually becomes a productive experience. So what was an unrighteous anger becomes a productive action, and the word that I would write for that is repentance. Repentance simply means changing our mind and taking action in a different direction. So if I'm able to have a irritated or violent moment in traffic, and I'm able to allow that anger to bring me to a deeper place where I can get honest with myself and with the Lord about the fact that I'm anxious or disappointed or hurt, and I can confess that I don't want to be an angry person and I need help, healing, whatever. If I can connect with someone who loves me around that idea, then what was anger has now been transformed to a productive repentance that's helping me become more of who I actually desire to be. So repentance is the productive action that can come out of that. Okay, let's talk about righteous anger. There's a whole nother kind of anger that I think we can miss talking about. And maybe we're not missing it as much anymore because we're seeing it more and more in our culture, in this political environment, in navigating a pandemic together, in racial injustice and tension in our world and in our country. All of this stuff has now become part of our world. And you will feel things about it. And a lot of what we feel is anger. A lot of what we feel is frustration about complicated things. And many of us will experience that anger, but if we also think anger's bad, anger's a sin, I need to not feel angry, then we're experiencing something, and it's a heightened response, but we're not going anywhere with it. And righteous anger that doesn't have the right vent will become unproductive action. And that righteous anger that's unproductive action, the word I use for that is foolish. And what doesn't mean that you're dumb, it doesn't mean that it's stupid. It means that it's not productive in a way that can actually lead to good. And one of the deepest forms of unproductive action that's coming out of righteous anger, I think, is like a general cynicism and apathy toward our world. So there's a sense of like despair, like, I don't know how to fix this thing. It's way too complicated. It's frustrating. And I just want to shut off the news. I don't want to engage. I don't want to know anything about it. I'm going to become apathetic to these actual issues in the world because I don't know what to do about them. And I think especially for believers and as believers, we are called to be in this world and to care about and to love the people around us and to love our neighbor. And oftentimes when our anger doesn't know how to like be transformed into something good, then we will just shut that down. We'll numb it. We will take that vent out on others. and it won't actually be transformed into what it could be. We won't allow that anger about something that is wrong in the world to be transformed into something good. We will transform it into complaint or into fear, or sometimes we tribalize and we're like, well, I'm going to surround myself with people who believe like I do, who think like I do, because that way I can make my world a place that feels justified. And I won't have to deal with like the nuances and the complexities of these issues. I won't have to think about it. All of that is kind of in the bucket of foolishness because we're creating a world that isn't the world that we live in. And we really are called to be a part of transforming the world in any way that God has called us to be ambassadors of reconciliation, to be light, to be salt in the world, meaning like we actually are participating and engaging in the world. Okay, finally, and we got to it. How about righteous anger that's productive? Righteous anger with productive action is true justice. And we're called to justice. We're called to look for those who are oppressed, those who are vulnerable, those who are weak, and to do something about it. And one of my favorite stories, it's kind of a big story. So it's not about a small thing, but it's about a big thing that's made a big difference, is all the way from 1990. And in 1990, there was a girl named Carrie Littner who was walking to a church carnival, and she was hit by a hit-and-run driver. She was 13 years old. She was thrown more than 100 feet, and she blew out of her shoes and died. And her mom, Candy, was, of course, deeply heartbroken and destroyed by this experience. And then it turns out that was also a drunk driver. And Candy, rather than allowing that anger to turn to bitterness or to turn against her or her family, she actually gathered with some other grieving mothers, and they formed an organization called Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I talk about this in my book, She's Got Issues. And Mothers Against Drunk Driving was at one time considered like the most successful grassroots organization that has ever existed. What happened over time is that not only did Mothers Against Drunk Driving change the law around drunk driving, but what we see if you fast forward 30 years later is that there's actually a completely different cultural norm around drunk driving. Like she didn't just work to transform the laws, but we've actually transformed the culture around alcohol. And you think about a person like that, out of her own grief, her hurt and her anger about a terrible thing in her own life, and being able to actually use that to bring good and to, who knows, to save countless other lives because of this ability to change the world. And you may be called to change the world in that way. Or you may be called to change the world in your family or in your neighborhood or in the environment around you. And understanding the ways that anger can work in our life to actually be a catalyst to a deeper character, to a deeper relationship with God, to a stronger connection with others in relationships in your life, and actually a connection into your purpose and into a calling that you can be part of being a force for good in a world that so desperately needs it. So I hope that you will engage your anger. And the next time that you find yourself really frustrated, really irritated, you would slow down and ask what's behind this and what would it look like, no matter where this anger's come from, what would it look like for me to allow it to be transformed into productive action? All right, you guys, I hope that's helpful for you today, and I look forward to talking with you next week. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Let's Be Real podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to me at Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. And hey, if you're enjoying this, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, share it with your friends, pass it on, shout it from the rooftops, whatever you feel like doing, because the reality is, let's get as many people getting real as possible. Talk to you soon.